It started a year ago, the rebirth of the Jacksonville Jaguars. From NFL headquarters in the Big Apple to owners' meetings in Dallas, Mustache Mania became a phenomenon. Shad Khan energized a fan base.
Jacksonville, I'm all in.
He came to win. Hire Mike Bilecki. Draft Justin Blackman.
Justin Blackman.
Fire up the fan base. Win over the players. The Jags blueprint in Jacksonville. A Jags footprint all around the globe. Off the field, the brand continues to grow. On the field, the time seemed right. But a positive preseason turned into the worst regular season in franchise history.
It's sad, it's embarrassing, but I think there are better days ahead.
Injuries and losses led to long faces and another wave of change. The rebirth that felt like a revolution now needs a resolution. This is the Jaguars season in review. Brought to you by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing. Gate. Pepsi, the official soft drink of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And by CopyFax, exclusive provider of copiers, laser printers, and fax machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Normally I'm not speechless, but I'm sorry I'm speechless. I think this is a time, obviously, I'll remember forever, and I'm so proud of you. And I've kept the sheet of everybody who's here, and it'll be with me forever. Thank you.
A memorable moment, but oh, it seems so long ago, and it was. Shad Khan giving the game ball back in September when the Jags beat the Colts. Khan's first win. The Jags would only get the owner one more win the rest of 2012. Hello and welcome to the Jaguars season in review. I'm Brett Martineau alongside Jeff Lagerman. It wasn't the season everyone thought it would be for the Jaguars coming out of training camp. 2-14 in 2012, and like we mentioned, the worst record in franchise history.
Yeah, that was a record that I hope that I will get to continue to be a part of, which was the inaugural season back in 1995 when we were 4-12, and I wanted to keep that. I mean, heck, you never want this football team to get past that point.
It's not fun when you have to go there in terms of a show like this for the season in review. We'll talk about the future in 2013 coming up, but we have to take this season back to the beginning, Jeff. Maurice Jones-Drew held out, and then five games into the season, he got hurt. The NFL's leading rusher ended up out for the season. If we dissect what went wrong, we can start right there.
Well, it doesn't help because of this football team for so many years, whether you go all the way back to Fred Till or even all the way back to James Stewart, this football team ran the ball very well. And if you want to say what went wrong, well, certainly offensively, this football team did not run the ball well this year. It's the lowest rushing yard total in franchise history. And when you have young quarterbacks or quarterbacks in a new system, you take a lot of pressure off with a solid running game, and they didn't have their premier back to have a solid running game.
And almost unheard of, the Jags ended up with five different starting running backs in 16 games.
It's crazy, and then you go back and you look at the stats chart, and the stats charts, they actually had to put it on a nine and a half by like 13 page just because of the number of running backs that had carries in the ball game.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And of course, the NFL is all about the quarterback. There was Blaine Gabbert. We all knew the season was going to ride on the young quarterback's shoulders. Unfortunately, his shoulder didn't hold up, literally.
Well, the shoulder, and really the one that took him out, was the elbow at Houston. And we actually saw that elbow inflame immediately on the field in Houston. And so it made sense to go ahead and put him on injury reserve to get the shoulder fixed. But the elbow is what caused it, because the elbow was predicted to be a 6 to 8 week type of injury to recover from. That's a big question mark going forward, because, he didn't really solve the longstanding question, is he the man going forward? And now you have to actually consider in, is he going to be healthy going forward as well?
And then enter Chad Henne. Unbelievable game against Houston. The knock against Chad is consistency, and that proved to be the case the rest of the year.
Well, the one thing that I do like about Chad and the job that he did when he came in is that he really pushed the ball down the field. And I think you can really see that when you look at the stats, certainly, but just the way that Justin Blackman really started to emerge when he came into the lineup, and also Cecil continued to grow and grow and grow. And all of a sudden, you look at the two wide receivers, which we'll get into more later on, but look at their yards per catch. I mean, it was outstanding. A lot of that had to do with Chad Henne.
And now going into 2013, it's Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert as the quarterbacks of the Jets.
Well, and, Brent, this season, we were, and all fans, everybody was so excited about a new start. It's the rebirth of the Jaguars with a new owner. You've got a new coach. And, I think we're at the point where we probably have more questions now going forward than what we had at the end of last year with new ownership.
Well, you get us right into the next topic. Maybe the most mind-boggling issue in 2012, the defense, Jeff. Sixth in the league a year ago, number six in the NFL, and now one of the worst in the NFL this season.
Very difficult to understand, especially when it's the same coaching staff on that side of the ball from 6th to 30th in the National Football League, and they allowed a franchise record rushing yards allowed. That certainly wasn't what anybody expected. You know, if you look at one number that I think is really a telltale sign of the league going forward, it's sack differential. And the Jaguars weren't able to get a lot of sacks. They only had 20 sacks on defense. They allowed 50 on offense, so their sack differential was actually minus 30. And in today's league, and it's a passing league, you've got to go ahead and be able to affect the passer, and the Jaguars' defense did not do that.
All of these topics we continue to talk about, the question of the season was, do the Jaguars have enough talent? And the answer was no. Two reasons. It's got to be the answer when you have two wins, and something we'll get into a little bit more later on. The Jags end up firing general manager Gene Smith.
Yeah, and he's a good man. You know, and he worked very hard. Nobody cares more for the organization than Gene Smith. And you know, it's kind of what you expected, but, you know, I'm a good friend of Gene Smith's, and so I'm disappointed to see him go, but I understand it at the same time as well. But, you know, you're never satisfied with the talent that you have. And one thing is for certain, if you have a quarterback, he makes the rest of the talent look so much better.
See Indianapolis. There are so many things that rise to the surface when a team goes 2-14. A lot of things, of course, go wrong. What makes it worse is it felt like a season that was going to be so right.
4 days into 2012, it was official. Shad Khan was the new boss.
I'm Jaguars owner Shad Khan, and I'm all in.
And he wasn't alone. A week later, Khan made his first major move.
I'm absolutely delighted and proud to present him to you, Mike.
Jags fever was at a fever pitch. Hope was high.
It's about the rebirth of you, the fans.
Every move had fans excited. Drafting Justin Blackmon ignited the fan base. There were stadium improvements, a brand new locker room, and international branding.
You want to cultivate, obviously, fans there. You know, we want fans, NFL fans, to adopt us, love us, and we want support us.
Prominent exposure.
Meet my guest.
Hello, ma'am.
This is Byron.
Hello, ma'am.
And a feel-good preseason.
This is on behalf of your players and your coaches and your team. We give you the game.
Then the real season started. All in, got all bad, week after week. A stunning defeat to start the year. Blowout after blowout at home. Mojo got hurt.
Houston come in there and just kind of twist his ankle a touch.
Gabbert got hurt.
It's tough to live with. It's tough to swallow.
Oh, let's not relive everything.
It's sad, it's embarrassing, but I think there are better days ahead.
Hard to fathom that in a 12-month span, this could turn into this. The worst record in franchise history. Hope turned into heartache. The future in doubt. The fans were all in. Now the season is all over, and the feeling is all too familiar.
Well, we could talk all day about what went wrong, Jeff. There were some good things, though. As much as the talent was questioned, the Jags almost beat three of the premier teams in the NFL.
Yeah, and then you're talking about Houston, New England, and Green Bay, and it was impressive. And sometimes you just sit there and go, why in the world did you play so well against those good football teams and not beat some others? But, you know, clearly the big improvements, though, the second biggest question going into the season behind the quarterback was the wide receivers, and we saw great improvement out of the wide receiving corps.
Oh, that's fun to see, too. The Jags did, by the way, have the fourth toughest schedule in the league. Not making excuses, just saying you can't play the Kansas Cities in the NFL.
No, because their division is not very strong. No. You can't say that.
Maybe the brightest spot, though, as you were mentioning, 2012, Cecil Shorts, two catches his rookie year, 21 yards shy of 1,000 receiving yards this year. He was consistently good and made some big plays.
Well, huge plays, and what was very impressive about him was the yak yards, the yards after catch and the knack for the big play. Cecil Shorts is going to be a star in this football league. The yards per catch, though, at 17.8 yards per catch is phenomenal.
It's off the charts.
He really is. He is a legitimate deep threat for this football team, and he will be a star along with Justin Blackman.
Yeah, speaking of another star, there is Justin Blackman. Wild rookie season, roller coaster ride just a bit, but he has the makings of a star, and we saw it in the second half of the year. We actually saw it in training camp, too, but it really materialized through the course of the season.
Well, you know, we're talking about two guys that have one common theme. Wide receivers coach Jerry Sullivan, mm-hmm. who had such high regard coming into this situation, and Justin Blackman, great year, tied with Kendall Wright for the NFL rookie wide receivers in receptions, led the league in rookie wide receivers for receiving yards, had five touchdowns, and we really, I think, are only starting to see a glimpse of what we're going to see in the long term with Justin Blackman.
Jerry did an outstanding job. The Jaguars' defense got better when the team got a steal. Signing Jason Babin off waivers was a no-brainer, and the ripple effect there was evident.
Well, he's a really good football player, and it's amazing that you could find a guy of that caliber at midseason. You know, he has 38 sacks in the last 3 years. And so you got him for nothing. You didn't have to pay a signing bonus or anything. He's going to be under contract for another year. You know, so he's a guy that you would like to possibly keep going forward, depending upon what the new general manager thinks. But he's a guy that has edge and the ability to create pressure off of the edge.
All right, and yeah, we're going to go here. Forget about where he was drafted for the next minute or so. Brian Anger had a fantastic rookie season.
Sure he did. And congratulations to him, because he not only set the Jaguars' records in net punts and gross punting yards, but also an NFL record for rookies in gross and net yards. And it would have been even better in the net yard category if it wasn't for the two punt returns against the Tennessee Titans.
See, it wasn't so bad. We just pointed out a lot of positives there. Okay, it was bad enough to make changes. That's our next topic when the Jaguars season in review continues.
Still to come in the Jaguars season in review. Changes have already been made at Jags headquarters. More could be on the way. Brent and Jeff discuss the future of the team, and the Ozone gives his unique perspective on the season that was. Outside of football, art is Uche Maneri's passion. Find out how the offensive linemen will keep busy in the offseason. Plus, we look ahead to 2013. Next on the Jaguars Season in Review. This is the Jaguars Season in Review. Brought to you by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Buy and sell Jaguars tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid.
Let's make our plays. Let's move the ball one possession at a time.
Mercedes Lewis' message to the offense. The tight end had over 100 yards receiving in the season finale at Tennessee, a good way to end his campaign. Welcome back to the Jaguars Season in Review. Jeff Lagerman alongside Brent Martineau. Last season, we witnessed a change in ownership that revitalized this franchise. You know it. This offseason, we're seeing change because, well, of the results. Gene Smith fired on Black Monday.
Well, and he was one of, what, 12 GMs and coaches that were fired. I mean, that's why they call it Black Monday, and it's a time of change in the National Football League, and every team out there is trying to move forward quickly to find the replacements, and the Jaguars are now one of five teams, possibly six teams with Kansas City, so you just don't know.
Smith was a Jaguars lifer, so tough to see him go. 22-42 record once he got the GM gig. Now, who's the next GM? That's been the question the last week or so. Owner Shad Khan moving fast. He's interviewed candidates, and we're under the impression the Jaguars will make an announcement on their next general manager this week.
Well, and we don't know what the direction is going to be. They're talking a lot about different candidates all around the country. Everybody's tracking Shad Khan's jet, where it's flying to, and I get that, but, you know, I'm not so much curious about who it's going to be, because there's a lot of quality candidates out there, but what will the structure be going forward? Will the GM report to the owner and the coach continue to report to the owner, or will the new GM have an input and a say on Mike Mularkey's future? Because right now the coaches are in limbo until Shad Khan or the new GM comes out and says something to address it.
So we are going to learn a lot more about owner Shad Khan here in the next couple of weeks. If the GM is the million-dollar question, the $10 million question is, then what? Reports are the GM could have a say on whether Mike Mularkey and the coaching staff is retained, just like Jeff was talking about.
Well, and I don't know what's going to happen there, you know, but clearly you need to have direction, and that direction is going to start at the top with Shad Khan. And with Shad picking the GM here, this is really his imprint, because if you look at Gene Smith, that was a Wayne Weaver guy, so this is going to be Shad's guy going forward. And you've got to have leadership at the top. And it starts with the owner, then it goes down to the GM, and then it goes to the coach, and then that filters down to the players.
Short term, the reality here is the Jags need their ducks in a row because they're basically on the clock. They have the second pick in the draft this year.
Well, and also there's, you know, 12 staff members with general manager, former general manager Gene Smith, you know, that are probably going to have to be utilized until the draft. And so second pick overall in the draft, you should be able to find a good player.
All righty. All year long on Jaguars All Access and on Jaguars.com, you are able to get in the zone with the Ozone. John Osier, we give way to John one more time to put a bow on the season and look ahead to 2013.
Well, it was a difficult season in a bizarre, twisted way, on the field and in the Ozone. A look back at the 2012 Jaguars is to look back on dashed hopes, devastating injuries, and strange happenings. How else to explain two starting quarterbacks, five starting running backs, and three road overtime losses? Remember, this time last year, the receivers were the weak point. They drastically improved, and still the team couldn't find the success it expected. Here in the Ozone, though, we did what we could to contribute to the cause. We battled. We resorted to cheap gimmicks. And frankly, at times, got a little cheesy. Trying to connect with the viewer during these difficult times, I dug deep and revealed my past, my inner self, and even sought help from Santa. Nothing worked. Seeking answers, we enlisted help. We turned to Jeff Filmroom Loggeman, then to babyface Brent Martin. But in this difficult season, it was to no avail. Even the trademark fedora, donned ridiculously to end a 7-game losing streak, proved only a brief respite and had to be cast aside. Replaced awkwardly with something that, well, in retrospect, was just needy, desperate, and sad. In the end, nothing worked. Sometimes that happens, and the result is 2-14. Good people moving on. So Gene Smith is out as general manager, and when you look at the coaching staff, and much of the roster, frankly, there are many, many unknowns. What's the direction of the franchise? Well, we find that out in the coming weeks and months. But I will tell you, all is not lost. In the NFL and in life, things can improve faster than you might think. And if you don't believe me, if you don't believe things can go from just plain awful to, well, at least something that looks less than awful in a pretty short time, well, I'm here to say sometimes they can.
Thought we were going to get through one Ozone with him not poking some fun at us, but...
Not a chance.
I thought maybe he got some new sneakers or shoes for Christmas.
Johnny does need some new shoes. We need to start a fund for him.
All right. Still much more to come on the Season in Review show on the Jaguars Television Network. We go beyond the field when we come back into the community and life off the field for one of the Jaguars' offensive linemen. That's coming up next.
This is the Jaguars Season in Review. This is the Jaguars Season in Review.
Welcome back here to the show. Brent Martineau alongside Jeff Loggeman. One of the neat things about having an NFL team is getting to know the players away from the field. For Uche Nwaneri, life after football is already fresh in his mind and on his skin.
Football can be viewed as an art, but it's a beauty not for the faint of heart. Uche Nwaneri is more of a traditional fan of art. He is an artist.
I've always been into, like, you know, shapes and patterns and colors.
During the NFL lockout, the Jags right guard started thinking about life after football.
Me and my dad had always talked about, you know, the importance of starting a business, you know, so that you can have something that you can build and you know, see become successful. So once I'm done with football, I can just transition directly into something else.
The idea turned into this. Uche is the majority owner of an Atlanta business called Inkaholics Luxury Tattoos. It's a tattoo parlor with a bar and an art gallery.
I really was, you know, looking for something that was unique but could be related to by anybody.
A lot like tattoos and art, Nwaneri is a walking billboard.
Because the human skin is a canvas in itself. And I mean, they've all got a little story behind them, but I think this one right here says Chukwu. When I was in college, everybody used to call me by the other half of my first name, which is Chukwu. And I just kind of got that on there and the date when I got drafted.
A beautiful day that helped launch the artist's career and business.
Jeff Uche is always a good guy to talk about on all issues, not just football.
No, and I will say he is one of the brightest people in the world that you were ever talked to. And, you know, the defensive and offensive linemen, they're like that. The rest of the guys, not so much.
Spoken from a former defensive lineman. Jags do so much work in our community, best in the NFL at it, and that was the case again this year. A salute to all the charity work by the players, the staff, and the organization. It really is an invaluable part of the NFL here in Northeast Florida. Well, we've looked a lot ahead. It's time to... We've looked a lot back. It's time to look ahead. 2013 will be an interesting year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We take a look at the home and away schedule, which includes a trip to London in October. The season in review show rolls on right after this.
This is the Jaguars season in review. This is the Jaguars season in review.
Welcome back here one more time to the Jaguars season in review show. I'm Brent Martin alongside Jeff Logman. Training camp is like 200 days away. Get excited for it. And I know fans get excited about this. They love seeing who the Jaguars will play in 2013. Home schedule, not a ton of games that jump off at you, but still it should be manageable.
Well, you got your division in KC, San Diego, Arizona, Buffalo. All those teams are undergoing change, so you would like to think the Jaguars will have success against them.
You hope to think that exact way. The away schedule means we'll be spending a lot of time out west, Jeff.
Well, in Denver, a good football team. Peyton Manning will be even better next year. St. Louis, Jeff Fisher's got them going. Pete Carroll's got the Seahawks rolling. Cleveland undergoing change. So this is a good schedule, typical last place schedule, and the Jaguars should be able to improve dramatically with a schedule like this.
I got to go play at Oakland again. And then there is this, the trip to London. A lot of factors, a lot of logistics really go into this game, but it'll be an interesting experience no matter what in October.
I'm looking forward to it. I've got to renew my passport.
Do that.
And
soon.
I wonder how many times that we will be referred to the Jaguars as Shaguars as we approach that game there in London. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've never been to London. I've been to a couple other cities in Europe, but never there.
And more than football, it's about growing the Jaguars in that brand. Shad Khan's going to take full opportunity of that along with Mark Lampen.
As he should. As he should. The NFL has wanted to have a team partner with the league and do this, and Shad Khan has been a willing participant. He's all for it, and I think it's a good thing. He will grow the international brand, and it's a man that has experience in the international business world.
And the Jaguars will play there once the next 4 years. I've said the last couple of weeks, it's been a fun season with just two wins. Can't imagine what it will be like when the Jags are playing games in January in the playoffs. For Jeff Lagerman and everyone on our Jaguars staff, I'm Brett Martineau. Thanks so much for watching all season long. Stay tuned for the latest news on the Jaguars on Action News, of course, and on Jaguars.com. Good night and Happy New Year, everyone.